In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the gospel reading from Luke, we just shared a moment ago, and in the reading we heard last week from John's gospel, on the day of his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples and showed them the marks from the nails that had pierced his hands and his feet, and the spear that had pierced his side. Then, while reminding them of what he had said before he died, he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures, telling them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. I wonder, why didn't Jesus do this earlier? What couldn't he have done to have made it clearer for them? Why didn't Jesus open their minds to understand the scriptures and then explain it to them before he died? Surely it would have made it easier for them to believe in him, easier for them to follow him, easier for them to accept the miracle of the resurrection. Surely everything might have gone so much smoother, so much better during the days of Jesus' ministry if his disciples had understood the scriptures at that particular time. But the fact is, they didn't. Instead, throughout the Gospels, we see the disciples following Jesus, bumbling and stumbling, and we see Jesus rebuking them time again and teaching them over and over again what the right way is. So why did Jesus wait? Why did he wait to open their minds so they could understand the scriptures and thereby understand him, understand what he was about, understand what he was seeking to accomplish? Perhaps the disciples had to experience the reality of Jesus' death and resurrection before they could really understand the reason for it, the plans and purposes of God as revealed in prophecy and recorded in the Bible. Perhaps their hearts and minds could not be opened. They could not possibly understand until they were first prepared for it by all of what they had seen and heard and felt as they walked with Jesus and first shared those experiences that were his. There's a story told of an explorer who, after some years away, returned to his homeland after spending time, as I said, exploring the Amazon basin. The people at home were eager to learn all about that vast and mighty river system and the country surrounding it. But how, he wondered, could he ever describe it to them? How could he ever put into words the feelings that flooded his heart when he saw the exotic flowers and heard the night sounds in the jungle? How could he convey to them the smells, the sense of danger and excitement that came whenever he and his companions encountered strange animals or paddled treacherous waters? So the explorer said, "The only way for you to know what it was really like is to go there and experience it for yourselves." Nevertheless, to help them understand as best he could, he drew a map of the river and the surrounding terrain, pointing out different features and landmarks, describing some of the dangers and some of the routes that could be used to avoid those perils. The people took the map, framed it, hung it on the wall of a local museum so that anyone who was interested could look at it. Some folks even made copies of it and studied it at great length so that after a period of time, some of those who had made copies considered themselves to be experts on the region. They knew every turn and bend in the river, its width and its depth, the locations of the rapids and all the waterfalls and so on. They knew the river so well, they felt they could instruct others in what it was like whenever someone indicated an interest in it at all without ever having ventured to experience it firsthand, all without having seen those sights about which they had heard but never seen. The point of the story is, of course, that many people today are in the same situation. They know the scriptures, but they don't understand them. They have an intellectual appreciation of them, but no real experience of the Word of God as it connects with their lives. And as a result, they have not fully grasped the wholeness of God's message. They've accepted some parts, while perhaps rejecting or ignoring others, all without ever considering all the connections that make it a whole. A lot of us who profess faith in Christ are like the disciples on that first Easter Sunday. We shrink away from much of what Jesus says. We don't want to hear about carrying the burdens of others. We don't want to hear about suffering for love. We don't want to hear about giving up family and home for the sake of the gospel. And we certainly don't want to hear how good people like Jesus, have to die before they can become fully alive. You see, these truths in the scripture just don't seem like good news to us, just as they didn't seem to be good news to Jesus' disciples. We can't see how or why it might be important for us, how or why any good can come out of it. Rather, for us, as for those disciples, good news, welcome news, consists of hearing about the glory to be given to the faithful, of hearing how the righteous will be given power, how the humble will be given the earth, how the poor in spirit will inherit the kingdom of heaven. The reality is, however, that without the one, there cannot be the other. We can't have the earth unless we carry the burdens of others while we walk on it. We can't have the kingdom of heaven without the willingness to put God before our own personal desires, even perhaps our own families. We can't have power without the willingness to suffer, and we can't have glory without the willingness to die. And unless and until we understand that, friends, unless and until our minds are open to see those links, those connections between what we are now and what we will be later, between what we experience now and what will unfold later, until we see the connection between death and resurrection, the scriptures continue to remain something of a mystery. Perhaps this is why Jesus did not open the minds of the disciples so that they could understand the scriptures before his resurrection. Until Jesus rose, the disciples didn't have the experience they needed in order to be open-minded enough to understand. Until Jesus rose, the link between death and resurrection was an abstract concept. It existed only in their minds as an unpleasant possibility, not as a reality that actually had dimensions of glory. Friends, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is the link between our experience and the message of the scriptures. Jesus is the key that can open our minds so that we might understand the scriptures, the wonder and audacity of God's plan for our salvation, and indeed so that we might understand our lives. On the first Easter Sunday, Jesus did not give his disciples some hitherto unknown secret, special knowledge so that they could understand the scriptures. What he did was open their minds. He reminded them of what they had experienced with him and of what they were even experiencing with him then. And he pointed to the scriptures that spoke of that experience. He made the connections for them. When he said, "These are the very things I told you while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the writings of the prophets, and the Psalms had to come true. This is what is written. The Messiah must suffer and must rise from death 3 days later. And in his name, the message about repentance and the forgiveness of sins must be preached to all nations." Friends, we understand the scriptures and their message when we know both our Lord's death and his resurrection. When we know that these both call upon our faith in him and in the experience of that faith lived out with him in our lives. Once upon a time, a grandfather and a grandmother went to a gift shop looking for something to give their granddaughter for her birthday. Suddenly, Grandma spotted a beautiful teacup on a shelf. "Look at this lovely cup," she said to her husband. He picked it up and said, "You're right. This is one of the loveliest teacups I've ever seen." At that point, something remarkable happened, something that could only happen in a children's book. The teacup spoke and said to the grandparents, "Thank you for the compliment, but I wasn't always beautiful, you know." Instead of being surprised that the cup could talk, the grandparents asked it, "What do you mean when you say you weren't always beautiful?" "Well," said the teacup, "once I was just an ugly, soggy lump of clay. Then one day some man with dirty, wet hands scooped me up and threw me on a wheel. Then he started to turn me round and round until I got so dizzy I couldn't see straight. Stop, stop," I cried. But the man with the wet hands said, "Not yet." Then he started to poke and punch me until I hurt all over. "Stop, stop," I cried. But the man said, "Not yet." Finally, he did stop. But then he did something much worse. He put me into a furnace. I got hotter and hotter until I couldn't stand it. "Stop, stop," I cried. But the man said, "Not yet." Finally, when I thought I was going to burn up, the man took me out of the furnace. Then some short lady began to paint me. The fumes got so bad they made me sick. "Stop, stop," I cried. And what did the lady say? "Not yet," right? "I'm glad you're with me." But finally she did stop. Then she gave me back to the man again, and what did he do? He put me back into that awful furnace. This time it was even hotter than before. "Stop, stop," I cried. But the man said, finally, he took me out of the furnace and let me cool. When I was completely cool, a pretty lady put me on this shelf next to this mirror. When I looked at myself in the mirror, I was amazed. I could not believe what I saw. I was no longer ugly, soggy, and dirty. I was beautiful, solid, and clean. Without that having happened, I would still be a wet, ugly, soggy mess of clay. It was when all that pain took on meaning for me. It had passed, but the beauty it brought has remained. A parable. Didn't make it into scripture, but it's a good one. Summing up the message of all of scripture, like clay in the hands of a potter, so are we in God's hands. This too is the message of Scripture. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And this too. You killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God that your sins may be wiped out. And this, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Jesus waited before he opened the minds of his disciples because he could do no other. The story was not complete until the resurrection happened. The disciples couldn't understand the scriptures until they witnessed the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And we too, like those first disciples, cannot understand the scriptures until our minds have been opened by our experience of him and by our faith in his resurrection. You see, without believing in Jesus and the fact that he both died and rose for us, we can know a lot about him, but never really understand him or experience all that he has in store for us. We can know the story of Jesus, the biography, if you will, the one that's found in the scriptures. We can explore the laws that have been written down. We can gain all kinds of knowledge and insights about scripture, but none of it will give us the understanding that God wants us to have. If we would understand what the scriptures are really all about, then we must not only open them, we must allow Jesus to open our minds by placing our trust in him, in the one to whom those scriptures point. And then we will truly understand, and we will praise God for it, for the understanding and for the life he has given us. Thanks be to God. Amen.